There we go. Good morning. So our readings today start with that beautiful, delightful, positive message, I shall never see happiness again. And of course, the first reading always focuses towards the gospel. So it gives us some insight or opening, if you will, towards the message of the gospel. But let's start with Job. You may be familiar with the book of Job. I think most of you are. It's a kind of a fable that's found in the middle of the Old Testament. And where we find Job today, of course, is at the bottom. He's lost hope. He's in despair. The story begins with him, of course, having everything, and God is very pleased with Job. And to test him, it's all taken away from him. And that's where we find him today. In the end, it has a happy ending. I won't give it away to you at this time. But the question then is, why in our scripture, in our readings today, do we just have this part of it? And I believe the answer is we need to ask ourselves that question. Have I ever felt that way? Is that me? Now or at other times? Perhaps a bit, in any case. Have we ever been extremely sad? Have we ever been experiencing grief in our lives? And of course, we all have, and we all will. Sometimes grief comes to us in the form of a great loss. Sometimes it's even traumatic, more than we can handle. Sometimes it's in the form, rather, of great challenges in our life, times when we're not sure we can deal with the challenge. In all, the book of Job gives us a marvelous reflection on grief. And in fact, that groundbreaking work of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross on death and dying is kind of a follow-up to the book of Job. It's all in there too, that great wisdom on who we are as we grieve, as we deal with mortality and the fragileness of life. And that might be the good place to start right there. Life is fragile and can turn quickly for us, for our neighbor, for our family, for our friends, for the person in the pew next to you. This brings us then to the gospel passage. And we find Jesus healing, which is a part of proclaiming the good news. And it tells us that Jesus understands when life is hard. We know that because he himself was human, but we also know it because he spent so much time touching and healing people who were feeling just like Job, people in need of a helping hand. And we're told that he touched them and healed them with compassion, meaning he felt what they felt. He knows how they felt. He knows how we feel. He knows what it's like to be a human who is challenged. And so it comes as a bit of a surprise. The story tells us he healed all day long, and then in the morning early he went off to pray, and the disciples pursued him, and they said, hey, come on back. There's lots more people there that need to be healed. And what he says is, let's go to another town. Kind of surprising, isn't it? Why would he do that? It seems he was planting seeds to sprout communities of disciples who would do what he did. They would continue his work, responding to the needs for healing of one another. We are such a community here. Do you ever pray for healing? The answer might be nearer than you think. Your family, your neighbors, or perhaps someone in this room. We are a community charged with healing. When we prayed in the response psalm, Lord, you heal the brokenhearted. Did we recognize how he heals the brokenhearted? Through his son, to be sure, but through his son's ministry, which continues today in you and in me. We are the instruments of his healing in this world, and especially in the lives of our brothers and sisters. There is so much support and healing and announcing of the good news that takes place right here in this parish. We come to our second reading, which is Paul. And he shares that his strength to preach comes from his own experience of being healed, freed from sin. This is a story he repeats early and often because it's so important to him. Do you remember when we first met Paul just a few weeks ago? Filled with rage and fury, and now filled with passion, compelled to preach that same good news that he himself had experienced. He tells us that his story is this strong call to preach. And for him, as frequently for us, sharing what God has done for us is the very best evangelization we can do. That God has touched me and healed me, and through me will touch you as well. Now we are the ones to bring the good news to the brokenhearted, to those who are enslaved, to those who are weak. We are the ones then to assure the blessings of good news, aware and empowered because he has touched and healed us. Part of our response then today might be just to look back and see how the Lord has touched me and healed me, what the Lord has done for me, what the Lord wants to do for everyone. Now, Mark, who was the first one to give us the gospel format, entitled his work, "The Beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ." He wanted to know that the readers to know that the future is different because of him. And the change continues in his ministry today through us. Jesus announced a change, and he himself was that change. He announced it through his words and his preaching, through his touching and his healing. But as Mark's title implies, what Jesus did was just the beginning. From the beginning, he called disciples, either by inviting them to follow him, or as in the case of Peter's mother-in-law, by restoring their ability to serve God and neighbor. The point of all his activity was to embody the message he preached. This is the time of fulfillment. The reign of God is at hand. Believe and act like you believe it. When people began to take his message seriously, it snowballed and became a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more people believed that God's reign was at hand, the more they recognized it, the more they were instruments of it, and the more it spread. Paul puts this into the imperative as he writes to the community at Corinth. Speaking for himself, he says that knowing the gospel impels him to mission. Woe is me if I do not preach. Well, we could say the same. Woe is me if I do not share my faith. Woe is me if I do not touch and heal my brother and sister in their need. Paul, Peter's mother-in-law, and ourselves have been freed for a life of service. And our service and preaching become sacramental. That is to say, they accomplish what they signify, bringing the reign of God into greater fruition.